This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we begin our interviews with candidates for state legislature, the Democratic State House candidate John Hoadley. But first, the end of summer is also the beginning of the college sports season. We're going to discuss what's happening in Western Michigan University athletics and college sports in general with Bronco Athletic Director Kathy Beauregard. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. It's always an honor to be here.
And we're also joined by Battle Creek Inquirer sports editor Bill Broderick.
Yeah, great to be here.
And Kalamazoo Gazette reporter David Drew.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Bill Broderick, first question for Kathy Beauregard.
Yeah, this is the first year for the college football playoff system, and a lot of people have talked about how the mid-majors could be left out of that equation. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I'd be happy to. You are correct. And as you would know, anybody that had a chance to watch any college football over the weekend, they had no problem reminding us that this was the first year of the playoff system. The playoff system that is in effect has really been transformational. It's been a long time coming. I think it's something that many universities have strived to be able to move towards. Media has definitely wanted it, and a lot of alumni and individuals involved. So truly with the playoff system that is in place, the BCS has kind of transformed itself to be basically under the college football playoff system, where there is now a selected group of a committee that has been selected, very similar to what you would see in the selection committee process of the basketball tournament, is the first time that that's been done for college football. Jeff Long, who's the athletic director at Arkansas, actually is chairing that group. It's a high-profile group, and they will be the individuals that will be deciding on the playoff institutions that are going to be representing the NCAA, and it will actually be right now a $100 million game that's going to be placed in Dallas for the first year. And in that process, I will also tell you that the group did a great job of including proposition and a way for the rest of what we not maybe think of the normal BCS to have a bowl game to also be included in the overall process.
Just to follow up here, the idea in the, you mentioned the basketball tournament, and you can usually win your way into that as a Western Michigan or a Mid-American Conference team, winning your conference and you get into the dance. It's going to be a reach to think that the Mid-American Conference could get into that Final Four as it stands right now. Would you say that expanding that tournament down the road would be better for mid-majors and maybe have them a seat at the table that way?
I actually don't see that happening right away. What they have done is they have right now in the process, we used to, because of antitrust lawsuit, the institutions that were not in that normal, 64 that are actually ending up moving forward with this could and would have a way into that game, but they would also subsidize all of the other conferences as a part of the bowl process in order for us to be able to, the courts actually said, to provide money that was equitable to what those have in place. So they have really set aside a bowl that will, in the process, take the next top four that will come that aren't in that, that will be really out of us that basically are the ones that aren't in the current BCS structure of those 64 teams.
David Drew.
I would like to talk about the Power Five formation and what that might mean for the future of just college athletics in general. And with them saying that they want to separate and the NCAA giving them some leeway to make their own rules per se, what does that mean for mid-majors?
Great question. I think it's one of those pieces of conversation that actually every talk show host and every sport individual that's out there certainly has had a lot of conversation in regarding this. And the top teams that are in that group, what they really have done over a period of the last 3 or 4 years, attempted to find another way to actually provide student athletes with more than what the NCAA currently allows them to provide. And about 2 years ago, they started what was a vote to look at basically a stipend of $2,000 a year in order to get these individuals more money. Because they certainly have, there are your three groups out there. They're the ones that think college football, and those institutions have so much money at their fingertips right now and are basically paying coaches high salaries and are also literally not looking at what they think the benefits should be for the student athletes. When the vote came to the regular membership of the NCAA to be able to give those $2,000, because the NCAA is made up of over 300 Division I schools, even though half of them don't play college football, they had a chance to vote. So it would be the Loyolas, the DePauls, the institutions that have the Marquettes that don't have football but have strong basketball programs, and then also the 1AAA. When the vote came forward, it was voted down based on the aspect of institutions voting no on this, and many of those saying, look, you know, we have 36 sports, $150 million in our athletics department, and we have money to be able to do this. And those institutions that don't had a right to overrule us, which really started the entire conversation, even though it had been going on for quite a while, on them setting out to do their own thing. The other part of what was frustrating to them was when President Emmert came into the NCAA, he actually came in and started his presidency with wanting to make quick, fast, strong impact, and started working outside of the NCAA legislative process that was in place that began to question everything that was really happening from that aspect. So those universities looked at the time, there have been rumors over the last 2 years, they'd leave the NCAA, they'd find a different way to move forward, and actually they're a part of the NCAA process also because of the billion-dollar NCAA basketball tournament and television money that's actually there, including those in that deal that was over a 10-year deal. So there were reasons why they couldn't really separate, but a way to look at the NCAA structure and say, we need a different voting process. The process we need is a process that gives us more votes to be able to deal with, in particular, the student-athlete welfare issues so that we can get more money, not necessarily pay for play, but more money in the hands of our current student athletes to address issues regarding additional meals or transportation for family members. A lot of the things that the NCAA and institutions had been criticized for over the years.
Back on the college football playoff for a moment, one of the things that has been brought up is that some coaches in the Power Five conferences have said maybe we should just be playing each other. You know, Big Ten teams play Pac-12 or ACC teams in non-conference. What would it mean for a Western Michigan University if you could not schedule Purdue, who you played last Saturday, or Michigan State, who you played last season?
Well, the first thing that needs to be absolutely stated here is that they need us. They need us. They aren't going to play each other for 12 football games a year. So to think that this actually puts us further out is absolutely incorrect. What they do need to do, and many of the conferences are looking at how many conference games they're going to schedule, and the whole playoff system does now depend on your strength of schedule and your wins and losses. I mean, it was amazing just after first game of the, you know, the year this year.
How many teams
who
are
gets lost?
Counted out.
Yeah. And they're out. They're not going to be in. I mean, the decision is like, why play the rest of the year? Well, that's not exactly how the system is working. I mean, they have an extensive system in place to be able to figure this out. The part for us that has been very exciting, those institutions need to be selective on who they want to play at the different levels. Many of them had been playing two FCS games at home, which they're not going to be able to do for the future of their strength of schedules. So what the institutions are doing is getting an idea of those MAC schools or Sun Belt or wherever they whack, wherever they happen to be, Mountain West, which ones are going to be at the top of the level of the league, because they can't really afford to play the lower level of the league. So the great news for us is the belief in what we have in our football program now, the belief under Coach Fleck, the belief that they have. We are getting many calls and are ready to announce actually another game series that is going to be a great announcement for us. And the phone is ringing because they want to make sure. That's another reason why we actually are playing Ohio State next year. We play Michigan State at home, and then we're also going to Ohio State. But the Ohio State, they called last year, believing that Western Michigan is a team that's going to be a team they want to play to be able to count to make the difference of their Big Ten schedule and who their non-league games are. So we're absolutely still in the mix.
David. The ESPN deal that the Mid-American Conference agreed to seems like a win for all MAC schools with the increased revenue that's coming in. But there's that little piece in there that says each school is going to be responsible for broadcasting some of its own games. Now, some MAC schools are ahead of the game with that, with Ball State and some other schools. But what does that mean for Western Michigan in having to set up a broadcast capability for volleyball or certain basketball games? What do you have to do on that front to get that going?
It's a tremendous opportunity for us with the ESPN contract for the league. It's a multi-year contract, which I think some have wondered why would the Mid-American Conference go this far out. If you look at all of the contracts that are basically with ESPN, this is where they are. And the substantial dollars that each institution is making is significant. It's significant new revenue for the department and all of the different conference institutions around the country. The part that is in there is more broadcast availability for an entire athletic department program, which we do need to enhance, which we do need to do. And it's a phased-in process. There is no doubt that there are some that have their own television capabilities on their own campus in place already. We do not have that. We've been doing the streaming for many years. There's upgrades that have to happen with that. And also part of the process with the ESPN contract is funding that is going to be established for each institution based on a timeline over 3 to 5 years. So in the first year, we are not a part of that timeline for increased resources and able to move forward, but we do believe with next year that we'll be able to do some really new, exciting things and make sure we're compliant with that, and also being able to reach out to our fans. The alumni that we have around this country and the ability for recruiting for us to get up on, anytime you can get up on the satellite, and I think people realize that you're turning to their longer games. But the amount of television opportunities that are there for us continually through our athletic department are very exciting for us.
If you look at the schedule on the website, you notice a lot of TBAs under game time for football. Is that in part because of television? Is that going to dictate some of those kickoffs?
Yes, it does. It dictates it 100%. And is one of the things that we know that we have not had. I think we've done that for maybe 2 or 3 years now where they've been TBA. But we've been able to sometimes get the word out before a 2-week window. The contract does talk about the 2-week window for establishing the starting times. We do understand that that's difficult for our customers. It's difficult for our alumni, our fans, and our community to plan other things and to move forward. But it's part of the ESPN deal that they want to make sure they're putting the best games on, the best opportunities they have. So across the country, it's been this way for years, where you don't see the time until, you know, a week or two before. So we are asking, obviously, for some patience there. We know for our first 2 weeks what time those games are both going to be night games. After that, we are going to have to wait and be able to anticipate playing them at whatever time they get assigned.
Just about at the end of our time here, so let me ask you quickly. We've found out about this water main break at Lawson Ice Arena. Is there any reason to believe that the beginning of hockey season is in any sort of jeopardy in terms of happening at Lawson anyway?
No, it is not at all. We had a great university staff that were on that right away, along with working with the city individuals. We have a partnership which is wonderful with Wings West. So right now our team is in a process of not formal practice, but it's open skate and a few other things. So the hockey team has been able to move out there, work with them. They found time for them to be able to do that. And we're crossing our fingers that they've talked about the middle of September of us being able to be back in there for the use of the ice. Luckily, there wasn't more damage. Nothing happened on it. All happened below the surface It didn't get into the locker room or the team rooms or anything on that main level. So we were very lucky with a situation that you certainly don't really want to ever see.
Kathy Beauregard, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Kathy Beauregard is athletic director at Western Michigan University. Also want to thank Kalamazoo Gazette reporter David Drew and Battle Creek Inquirer sports editor Bill Broderick.